Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount. As I said before, there are three key marks or traits of a pious Jew. That would be in their charity, their giving, as we looked at last week. This week is prayer, and next week is in their fasting. So we're going to be reading from Matthew 6, starting at verse 5, and reading to verse 15. Matthew 6 is found on page 964. Matthew 6, starting at verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that's as far as we're reading in Matthew 6. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses together and pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible and our own catechism has a lot to say about prayer. Catechism says that prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. The Bible tells us that we are to be persistent in our prayers, praying always, that we're to ask, seek, and knock on the doors of heaven. But although prayer is found often in our catechism and in our Bibles, prayer is a necessary and constant part of our lives. It's also true that we sometimes forget or neglect this means of communion. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus continues to unfold the secret life of obedience. We practice our righteousness as we looked at last week, considering the call to charity. We don't do our giving before others to receive praise from others. Today, when it comes to prayer, how do we practice our prayer? When we're practicing our prayer, practicing our righteousness, are we doing it so that others would see us, so that others would praise us? The fact is, we live in a world where there is a temptation to virtue signal, to appear to be more pious than we really are. I found an example this past week of, or a couple weeks ago, from virtue signaling. If you are so convinced that you are living on stolen land, then why don't you give your house back to the people whom you think you stole it from? We find this all the time in society. People say certain things, but they don't really act upon it. They don't really put it into practice. Well, we can do the same thing in our own circles. This can happen in the church as well. Virtue signaling, where we pretend to be more holy than we really are. To illustrate this point, let's imagine that on Tuesday night you have an elder's visit. You have two elders coming to your house. What will you do in the previous half an hour before the elders appear? Will you go around the house? Will you hide the TV? Will you dust off your Bibles? Will you make sure you put away your phones when the elders show up at your door? Are you going to pretend to get along as family members for that hour that you are visiting with the elders, and as soon as the elders go out the door, the TV comes out, the Bibles go back in their drawers, and your phones reappear in your hands? The fact is, there are certain things that we all do, that we put on a show, we put on a mask, we pretend to be more pious and righteous than we really are. We pretend and yet our hearts are not on fire for the Lord as we truly ought to be. We can all fall into this trap. So today Jesus is going to bring us back to the heart of piety, the heart of godliness made evident in how we pray. So we're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ calls us to a proper life of pious prayer, a proper life of pious prayer. And at first point then, we start by identifying certain things, certain attitudes that are to be avoided when it comes to the life of prayer. There are things that people do, there are things that God's people do, the congregation does, which undermine what prayer is supposed to be. If prayer is designed to be a pleasing sacrifice to God, if prayer is to come from a heart of humility, a heart of faith, if we are to approach God coming as children to a heavenly Father, coming washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, as Christ has opened the way for us, if we're coming with hearts moved, set on fire by the Holy Spirit, with hearts of faith that believe that we will receive what we ask for when we ask with hearts of faith, that changes how we pray, how we approach our God. But there are certain things that we can do that undermine true prayer. Certain ways in which our prayer is hypocritical, where we are play acting, as Jesus says. When you are praying, verse 5 says, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not be like those who put on a mask, who put on the mask of piety, the mask of holiness, that when other people are around, we appear to be something that we are not. We are like play actors. Our piety is external. Well, the first thing Jesus says in verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who like to pray publicly, who pray to be seen, who pray in order to be identified. We saw this when we read earlier from Luke 18, that Pharisee who comes into the temple, stands in the middle of the room, raises his hands up and says, look at me. He's praying about himself. Praying to himself. I thank you, God, that I am and I am, and I thank you that I am not like this other guy. Praying about himself. The Pharisees are known for their public and their grandiose prayers. Let me ask you this. When it comes to your prayers, where are you at in your prayers? Are you coming to God with a heart of humility, or are you front and center in your prayers? I thank you, God, that you have made me such a good person, and that it's by my works or my merit or my righteousness that I can come here into your presence. And when it comes to pray publicly or being engaged in corporate prayer, it is tempting to pray for the recognition of men, and even pastors are tempted in this way. When it comes to praying, our public prayers, and we're asked all the time to pray publicly, maybe it's around the dinner table, maybe it's at family gatherings. When you are praying before other people, are we thinking, I wonder what other people think of my prayer? Pastors can do this too. Pastors can, through their prayers, be thinking, well, I hope this person is appreciating that I'm praying for them. I'm hoping I'm coming off as a well-crafted prayer. I hope people are able to say, wow, Pastor Alonso, he is good at praying. When you do that, you are undermining the very thing that prayer is. We also do this when our minds are wandering. How many of us don't struggle with wandering minds? We finish the congregational prayer, and what just happened? That 15 minutes, was I actually engaged in prayer? Was I praying with the congregation, or was I at my work? Was I at the sports game? Was my mind somewhere else? It's easy to start thinking about anything and everything except for what prayer is doing. So we need to guard our hearts against praying for the sake of publicity. But even coming to church, we can fall into this. When we come to church, we want other people to see that we're going to church. I hope my neighbor sees that I'm going to church. I want everybody to know that I'm a good person because I'm going to church, and I'm going to church twice every week. So be careful when it comes to practicing your righteousness, that you're not doing it so that other people can see you, so that you would be visible, seeking the praise of men. The next action to be avoided, Jesus continues, is not only the visible, grandstanding prayer, but it's also the long-winded prayer. This is verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Long-winded prayers. Prayers that are verbose in their exquisite use of the English language, having a plethora of polysyllabic words in our prayers. Jesus says that does no good. Why do you do that? Why do you think that your many words and your long prayers are going to make your prayers more acceptable to God? Prayers that include empty, repeated words are like the words of those who worshiped Baal on the top of Mount Carmel. Remember what Elijah said? Maybe Baal is sleeping. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. You need to shout louder and longer and harder in order to wake Baal up because he's obviously not paying attention. We do that in our prayers when we repeat for the sake of repetition, using many words or quote-unquote holy language in our prayers without actually having a heart engaged with faith. So not only can we fall into the prayer of having seeking publicity, but we can also pray with long-winded prayer for the sake of ourselves. What moves people to want to pray in the presence of others, to be seen? It's pride. Often it comes from a heart of pride. We want the recognition. We want people to see how pious we are. But it can also come from a heart of doubt, fear, as if we need to convince God, if we need to bring something to God's attention that God has overlooked. Jesus says the same thing in verse 9. Your Father knows what you need. So you are not praying in order to bring something to God's attention that he has overlooked. So prayer can come, these kinds of prayers can come from a heart of pride, but they can also come from a heart of doubt. We can pray so that we would be recognized, but we also pray in certain ways because we doubt what prayer really is. We doubt what is really happening. Certain persons pray more in public than in private, praying more for the praise of others than from a heart that is longing to commune and fellowship with their holy God. So one of the applications is this. It's the same application from last week. When practicing your righteousness or putting your faith into practice, be careful of doing that in order to be seen. When it comes to your charity, we saw this last week, and when it comes to prayer today, we should forget about others. Not in the sense of don't pray for others, but forget about what others think. When it comes to your life of faith, forget about how you look or how you sound. Don't worry about using the right words, for sometimes the groan of the heart is the sweetest words of prayer. You see, the problem with the Pharisees is that people would pay them money, and it was basically hiring them to be professional prayers. We'd hire the Pharisees to stand on the corners of the street with their long robes on, and they would have these really grandiose, long, word-filled prayers. That wasn't true prayer. They were doing it to be seen. What does Jesus compare the Pharisees to? He compares them to whitewashed tombs. It looks good on the outside. I mean, they could really pray. But their hearts were full of dead man's bones. They obscured their lack of faith with their many words and their public deeds for the sake of praise of man. Rather, Jesus is saying, when you are praying, you should pray like this. And that's why we have the Lord's Prayer given to us. What do you find here in the Lord's Prayer is that the youngest child can say these words. They are simple, straightforward words of faith. When you pray, pray like this. Access to the throne of grace is not gained by our pretty words or our long-winded prayers. Rather, our access to our Heavenly Father is granted by Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. So then let's continue into our second point then by looking at the proper attitude of prayer. As I said before, Jesus has a lot to say about prayer. Prayers need to come from a childlike heart of faith, prayers offered with thanksgiving, prayers offered with a dependence. But today we're going to be focusing on the attitude and the direction of the heart. Prayer that pleases God is not prayer that is looking at other people, wondering what they think about us when we are praying. Prayer that pleases God is not man-focused, and it's not concerned with what other people think of us when we pray. Prayer that is pleasing to God is prayer that is offered with simple, straightforward faith. Doesn't need to be long, and it doesn't need to be grandiose. In fact, prayers that are pleasing to God are often short and sweet and to the point. And I think this helps us understand the constant aspect of faith. When Paul says we are to pray without ceasing, he does not mean that you need to spend the day on your knees with your eyes closed and your hands folded. The consistent aspect of prayer is connected to the short, sweet, constant prayers of faith. So when we pray without ceasing, as 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it, prayer is part of a constant conversation that God has with His people. That we respond to what God is saying to us. We respond to the things that God is doing. We don't need to convince God of our need, but He does delight to hear from us. He delights to hear when we are thankful. When God gives you something, when He gives you a gift, offer up a short prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of praise. One example of this I heard that there is an aged man, an aged saint, who begins every one of his prayers this way. And Lord, I thank you. Every one of his prayers started with, and Lord. His whole day was a run-on sentence of prayers. And Lord, I continue this prayer by thanking you and asking you and rejoicing. Not long, not grandstanding, but the short, sweet words of a child of faith to his Father in heaven. So Jesus says, you do not need to use many words in verse 7. Now, to be clear, when Jesus says you don't need to use many words, he is not saying that we should not be persistent. Because back in Luke 18, remember I said Luke 18 has a lot to say in prayer. Luke 18, we find the persistent widow. The persistent widow keeps coming to the judge. So we are to keep coming to our Father in prayer. Jesus is forbidding the mindless, senseless repetition that has no meaning or purpose. Simple, clear, consistent prayer is what Jesus is calling for. One of the benefits that we have when it comes to coming to our God in prayer is that, as verse 8 says, He already knows your need. You don't need to you don't need to tell Him something He doesn't know. You are simply going to a God who has called you to pray. God knows your need even before you ask. And that, brothers and sisters, is very comforting. God knows what you need before you ask. You are coming to the throne of grace, asking for the things that God knows you need, and asking for the things that God has told you to ask for. So there's great comfort in this, but there's also great confidence. Because God will give you what he has promised, and he will give you what you need. He delights to hear and answer the prayers of his people. So there is comfort and there is confidence in the heart of faith. 1 John 3, verse 22 puts it like this: whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So the prayers that we offer are to be simple and offered to God by the Spirit based on the things that God has promised us in his word. So the prayer of God's people is to be simple and straightforward, but it is also to be prayer offered in secret. And that's verse 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And when your Father who sees in secret sees you praying, he will reward you. So the prayer that we are called to offer is to be the prayer of the secret inner sanctuary of prayer, going into the prayer closet, because our prayer is to be offered before the audience of one. Think of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Three times a day he'd go into his upper room and he would pray. Or even Jesus Christ would often depart from the crowds and leave his disciples behind to go to a secluded place of prayer. Prayer offered as a fellowship, as a communion, as a conversation between you and the Lord, casting your cares upon him in secret. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not excluding public corporate prayer. There are many times in the Bible when the congregation is called, even here as a church, called together for corporate prayer. But Jesus is saying that when he's pointing to the heart of the issue, says, when you're praying, recognize that it's a conversation between you and the Lord. You don't need to do it in front of others to be seen by them. When you are praying, make sure that your personal prayer life is not being done for the praise of fellow men. So then, do we offer our prayers in this way? If someone heard you pray or saw you pray, what would they say? Do you pray in order to get acknowledgement from others? Well, if you do pray in order to be seen by others, to be heard by others, Jesus says, you will be rewarded. If you pray in order to be seen by others and heard by others, Jesus says, you will be rewarded. But the reward you get comes from man. You will surely be rewarded. You will get the pat on the back. Wow. You are really good at praying. Wow, you spent 15 minutes praying? I've never seen someone pray so long. You are a really good prayer. Okay, you got your reward. But if you pray as Jesus teaches to pray, simple, straightforward, and in secret, the God who sees in secret will reward you. That's verse 4. But what is the reward? The reward is not listed in verse 4, just promised. But if we expand our context a little bit, one of the rewards that we get when we pray as we are taught to pray is that we receive that which we ask for. When you pray as you are taught to pray, you will receive that which you are asking for. Well, what are we to pray for? What kind of prayers should we offer? Well, if we are praying with a heart of faith and asking for the things that we ought to be asking for, this is what you will receive. You will receive your daily bread. You will receive the forgiveness of sins and deliverance from evil. To put this another way, one of the rewards that we get when we pray as Jesus teaches us is the reward of answered prayer. That is the reward. Doesn't Jesus say, if you ask for my grace and spirit, I will surely give it? James 1. If you need wisdom, ask, and you will get it. So when you are praying, as Jesus teaches you to pray, you can know that God will give you what you are asking for. He is pleased to hear and answer your prayers. Now, there is a wrong way to pray. James 4 says, if you ask and you're not receiving the things you are asking for, you may be asking the wrong way or for the wrong things. James 4 says, if you are asking for things in order to satisfy the sinful pleasures and desires, praise God, He doesn't give you what you ask for. I mean, that's a good thing that God does not give you what you ask for if you are asking to satisfy sinful desires and cravings. But if you're asking for His grace, asking for His Spirit, asking for wisdom, He will surely give because He has promised to. Added to this, there are other further spiritual blessings. The reward that we receive when we pray as Jesus teaches us to pray is that there is a further spiritual development, a sanctification that takes place in and through us as we pray. Prayer is one of the tools that Jesus uses to mold His people into His image. So in prayer, as we are learning to be mindful of the things that we should be thankful for, in prayer when we are learning to see our dependence, in prayer when we are praying for our enemies, Jesus is changing us through prayer. So prayer itself is a reward as God opens your eyes to see your dependence and to acknowledge His riches. Prayer is a means that Jesus uses to bless His people, to say nothing of the riches and rewards reserved for God's people in glory. The inheritance kept in heaven, the crowns and riches that await those who practice their prayer life in secret, as here Jesus taught. These riches are promised to those who live a life of faith, not earned, not gained by merit, but promised as a reward nonetheless. Prayer opens the windows of heaven by which God's blessings promised to His people fall upon those who ask and thank Him for these gifts. To conclude, your prayer life often reveals the state of your heart. What does your prayer say about you? If prayer is a routine, a dead formalism, if prayer is something that you just do so that people can see you, that you might pull the wool over their eyes to pretend to be pious when your heart is dead and cold, Jesus says, you'll get your reward, but it will come from man, and that will be the end of it. But if you want the promised reward from God, then Jesus says your prayer needs to be simple, straightforward, from a heart of faith, and a secret communion between you and your Heavenly Father. Calvin put it like this: prayer is not so much for God's sake, but for ours. Prayer is a gift that God gives us that Jesus uses to change us. So Jesus Christ calls us to a proper life of pious prayer. So may our childlike faith evidence itself in prayers that are not done before the eyes of man, not for the praise of man, but before the ears of our Lord, who sees and hears the prayers of His children. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this wonderful reminder and also this humbling text that reminds us how often our prayers are simply done for the wrong reasons. We do pray, O Lord, that we would learn through what Jesus here teaches to offer prayers that are pleasing and acceptable in Your sight. Not long-winded, not done for the praise of man, but simple, straightforward from a heart of faith. So may our communion, may our fellowship with You evidence itself in how we pray and in our desire to pray as we long to thank You and to ask from you for the blessings that you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.